Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. It's good to be back preaching another Youth Sunday. I haven't got to do the ministries nights that often because of work and late and other things. It's hard to get all the way up here, and I miss it. But I'm thankful that my younger brother and now my cousin, who's also a preacher, has been able to step in, and they've gotten opportunities to preach and grow in the Lord. And I'm just glad that you guys as a church welcomes in young preachers and people like me and my family who just want to serve God, and you give us opportunities to preach and grow, and it's something I'm really thankful for, because not a lot of churches do it. So I'm really thankful for you guys and having this Youth Sunday and having ministries nights and things like that. It really blesses my heart. And this is like a follow-up message. The last time I preached for the youth night out there, I preached on David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath, and the good examples that David gave us out of that chapter, even as a young boy, on how to be a Christian, and David as a man, how his example on to be a Christian, how it pertains to our lives and how we can live. This is kind of a follow-up message to that, but it's not really the positive examples that David had into being a Christian. This message is really the negative side of David, the things that David did in his life that I want us to try to keep from doing. And everyone automatically thinks of the one sin that he did that everyone knows about, him and Bathsheba. And that's what this, 2 Samuel chapter number 11, that's what this chapter is. But that's not where he first went wrong. If you read, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. I'm getting ahead of myself here, so we're going to start reading. Before I read, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to get into the negative example that David sets in this chapter. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to come in your house, Lord, and to worship you, Lord, and to praise you, and Lord, and to give your message, Lord. And I pray that you just help me today, and to not to be in myself, Lord, that every word I say is what you want me to say. And I pray that each and every single person in here will get what they need, and that they could get some help, Lord, and take it with them, and not to forget what they hear today, Lord, and that you would bless their heart with it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. And it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Amnon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am a child.' And David sent to Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, 'Go down to thy house and wash thy feet.' And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, 'Uriah went not down into his house,' David said unto Uriah, 'Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house?' And Uriah said unto David, 'The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of the Lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing.' And David said to Uriah, 'Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart.' So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow." And I'm going to stop there. And I want to talk about what David does in this chapter. And we know that he committed this sin with Bathsheba. But first, I want to say that sin caused David to tarry. In verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Amnon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." What happened here was, David decided today he wasn't going to stand up and he wasn't going to do his job. That morning he must have woke up, he must have said, "You know what, today I don't feel like doing my job as king and going out to battle. I'm going to stay, I'm going to tarry here in Jerusalem." And that was the first decision that David made to put him on this downward spiral. And a lot of people think, you know, they get into points in their lives where they're like, I don't know how I got to this spot. I don't know how I'm doing these things, or I don't know how I got so low in my life. They can trace it back to one decision they made not to be a Christian. One day they stood up and said, you know what, today I don't feel like doing this. Today I don't feel like going to church. You know, I'm tired. I don't feel like going to church tonight, or whatever the thing may be. You know what, I'm just going to watch this on TV, or I'm going to listen to this on the radio, or whatever it is. And they think, oh, that's just a small decision, but that can lead to something bigger and worse than you would ever imagine doing. Sin will take you farther. I know everyone hears that sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. And sin caused David to tarry, but not only did it cause himself to tarry, but he caused Uriah to tarry. He made Uriah come back from war, and it says in verse number 12, and David said to Uriah, tarry here today. He could have been serving his king. He could have been out there fighting. He could have been battling, doing the things he was supposed to be doing, but David caused him to tarry. So not only when you are stopping, when you're not being the Christian you're supposed to be, you're going to cause other people to stop, or you're going to feel bad about yourself for not doing the things you're supposed to, and be like, yeah, you do this too. Yeah, we don't need to go to church Sunday night. You just come with me. You know what? You're going to make excuses when you're living wrong to try to get other people to live wrong. It's easier to keep running and doing the things for God than to stop and try to start going again. When you're living for God and when you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, we sang keep on the firing line today. When you stay on the firing line, when you stay being a Christian, it's easier to keep on doing that than when you stop and you backslide and you get away, and it's harder to come back to God and try to live again for God, come back to church, and you have those things in the past that you did or whatever. It's easier to keep running for God than to stop and try to keep going again. My second point is that sin caused David to take action. David had an opportunity. After he tarried, David had a second opportunity to not do the thing that he did. His messengers told him, isn't this Uriah's wife? And it doesn't even say David's response. It just says that, you know, he told him to come or whatever. And after this thing happened, and he did whatever he did with Bathsheba, and she got pregnant, and he had to take action. He brought Uriah back from war because he was trying to cover up the things that he had done. He tried to send him home. And we're going to keep on reading in verse number 13. And it says, and when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned to Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war. And we're going to stop there. But my second point is, sin caused David to take action. So David brought Uriah, that was his first decision to try to cover up what he did. David brought Uriah back from war to try to get Uriah to go home and to cover up the sins that he had committed. And he commanded him to go home. And Uriah said, he will not do this thing. He disobeyed a commandment from the king and said, I will not, as long as thou livest, I will not do this thing. And he realized that didn't work. So the second night, he tried to get him drunk. He filled him up with food. He tried to get him drunk. And then he tried to get him to cover up his sins. And that didn't work. So he realized both of these things were not working. And he's doing these things. He's sinning. And then he sends a message out to his... he sends Uriah back to war with a message to Joab, the leader, and tells him to put him in the hottest part of the battle and basically to get rid of him. Basically, he told him to send Uriah out to the hottest part of the battle, the front lines, and everyone else retreat and let Uriah die. He basically told him he basically murdered Uriah. He didn't murder Uriah. And it says that he did that thing and that Uriah had died. So first, sin caused David to tarry. It caused him to not go out and do the things he wanted to do. The first decision is mine, to not do the things he was supposed to do for God. It caused him to tarry. Then it caused him to take action because he kept on sinning and he tried to cover up his sin, but then sin caused him trouble. He had to kill Uriah. He had to send a message out to his man. He said, you know what, this is not going to work. I'm going to have to do something else to try to cover this up. And he had to eventually kill Uriah. And we're going to keep on reading in verse number 19. It says, "And charged the messenger, saying, When thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, Wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubish?" I don't even know. I'm not going to try to read that. "Did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, and he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, Thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, "Surely the men prevailed against us, and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them, even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." Then David said unto the messenger, "Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, Let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him." And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So that's my last point, and that is that sin caused David to displease the Lord. Sin displeases God no matter what sin it is. Every time you sin, it's going to displease the Lord. But David went so far, and this wasn't a short period of time that this happened. It wasn't just, you know, a phone call back and forth in these messages. He had to send a messenger out to battle, and that messenger had to travel that journey there, and the messenger had to come back. And I'm sure it was many weeks or maybe months that all this thing was happening. And Joab sent a message back to David saying, you know, Uriah the Hittite died, but so did a couple other soldiers. Things happened. And other people died. And David said to the messenger to tell Joab, "Oh, don't worry about, you know, if one sword kills one, it's going to kill others. You know, don't worry about this thing." So David, not only because of his orders that he sent to kill Uriah, he killed multiple people. He didn't just kill Uriah. Other people died because of the things David was trying to cover up. But this was such a long period of time that David was not being a Christian. David was not doing his job as king. David wasn't living right. He wasn't doing what he could do for God. And everyone wants to be David when they read David and Goliath. You know, they're like, I want to be that Christian. I want to stand up, and I want to fight the giants, and I want to do things for the Lord and have faith in God and just obey him in every aspect of my life. But what I want you guys to realize is, no matter what point you are in your Christian life, no matter how high you are, no matter how low you are, if you do not choose to serve God and choose to be a Christian and choose to live for God every single day, you will fall. It might not be something that happens in one day's time. You might decide tomorrow that you're not going to be the Christian you're supposed to be. You're not going to be faithful like you're supposed to be. You might decide, I'll read my Bible tomorrow. I'm not going to read it today. That one decision can cause you years down the road to not even be the Christian that you're supposed to be. I have recently, in the past couple years, things have happened with preachers that I have looked up to in my life and pastors that I've looked up to in my life that have committed sins that I could never imagine that happening. And now they don't even serve God. I don't even know if they're in church. And it's like, man, that great man of God that I looked up to and I thought was so close to God could do something like that. You know, what am I? Who am I? You know, I could fall just like that. It's something you have to, Paul said, I die daily. Every single day you have to wake up and say, you know, today I'm going to be a Christian. Today, no matter what happens, I'm going to serve God. And you might have a bad day. You might think, you know, I sinned or I didn't live for Jesus like I was supposed to. You can't dwell on that. You have to pray. You have to ask God to forgive you. And tomorrow you have to be a better Christian than you were the day before. You can't let one bad day as a Christian turn into, you know, two, three bad days as a Christian, a week as a bad Christian. God wants us to stay living for him and to keep on the firing line like the song we sang. I just challenge you guys, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. And every single person knows, you know, you ask even lost people about David and Goliath, and they know the story. But a lot of people who know David, and you know how great of a man he was, knows about this fall. And because of this sin in his life, you know, God forgave David eventually. But God's judgment never left David's house either. There's things that happen throughout the rest of this couple chapters and throughout David's family that were awful things, and it's because of the judgment of God, because of what he's done here. You know, and it's like I said earlier, you know, it's harder to start running and doing things for God again than it is to keep going. You know, you might be running good for God, and then you backslide, and you're out for a while, and you come back into church, and you just don't have that same relationship with God that you had. You have to build that back. God will always be there for you, but you're not going to be able to, I mean, you're going to have things in your past that, you know, God will forgive you of your sin, but a lot of times you can't forgive yourself. Every single time that you sin, if you are saved, God has forgiven that sin. But there's a couple things about sin that you don't realize. Not every single time that you sin and God forgives it, do you forgive yourself for that sin? God will forgive it every single time. But are you going to forgive yourself every time? That you could hold yourself back from serving God. And not only do you not forgive yourself every time, but other human beings, they're not going to forgive you every single time you sin. Every time you do something to someone else, they're not going to forgive you every time. They're not going to forget about it. God forgets your sin. When you ask God to forgive you and he will every time, he forgets about it. You know, that's gone from his memory. Even you might have family members or people you've done wrong in your life who say they've forgiven you, but they will never forget what you did. They'll never forget the wrongs that you've committed in your life. And that's something I want everyone to realize today, that you have to make the decision every day to serve God, to just, you know what, today I'm going to be a Christian, today I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do. And it's a daily decision. You have to realize that every single, it's something you have to strive to focus on and to grow closer. And if you don't, you're going to find yourself falling. And it's not going to be, you know what, today I'm not going to be the Christian that I want to be. And tomorrow, you're in the bar drinking. That's not how it works. It's going to be a long period of time, and you're going to slowly, and you're not going to be as close to God as you were, and you're going to be like, how did I get to this point? And David could probably do the same thing. He could probably realize, you know what? If I would have went to war with my men, if I would have been doing the things as a king that I was supposed to be doing, then this would have never happened. And it says here, the time the kings go forth to battle, which means that, you know, that is what kings were supposed to be doing. And he was King David, and he didn't go to battle. And every Christian knows the things that they're supposed to be doing. Everyone in here knows what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to live their life, what God wants them to do. And I just challenge everyone in here to strive to be what they're supposed to be for God, because if not, that's what happens in David's life. He sins and he commits this sin, and it causes judgment for his entire family. Everyone thinks, you know, this is my life. I can do what I want. It's my decisions. Affects me. It's not just going to affect you every single time. When you sin and when you're not living right, it affects everyone around you. It affects your family. Affects the people at work. And one day you're going to realize, you know, I could have done so much for God. I could have, you know, all these people that I came in contact with in my life that I could have witnessed to, or I could have, you know, my testimony could have witnessed to. It's like the pastor was talking about in Sunday school, you know, your testimony is what you owe the lost world, is your testimony for Christ. And I just challenge you guys to do what you can do for God, and every single day that you live on this earth, choose to be a Christian. Choose today that you're going to live right. And everyone wants to be David and David and Goliath, but nobody wants to be David in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Nobody wants to be that Christian, but it could happen to you. It happened to David. So I just hope that you get something out of this message and realize what David's negative example is in this chapter, and that's all I have.